This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Man coverage, great opportunity here. Williams fires, Loveland again. He's stuck at the five. He's going to be a yard short. So it'll be a third down and one. Goodness, what a day.
Man, it's like a great tight end I had, a little mini Gronk. Big enough, blocks in the run game, which I really appreciate about these tight ends. Tight ends that just catch passes are end up being glorified slot receivers, but when you stick your face in there and block defensive ends, that's what the tight end position is all about, and the Bears have two of them.
All right, that was Tom Brady on Fox calling Colston Loveland a mini Gronk. 10 receptions, 91 yards for Colston Loveland, a touchdown as well. Colston Loveland's so young, he may get bigger. I don't think he'll ever be Gronk size, but what a year for Colston Loveland. What a year for the rookies, albeit all on the offensive side of the ball. I think that tells us a little bit about where the 2026 NFL draft may be headed for the Bears. Colston Loveland, Luther Burden, Kyle Manungai, Ozzie Trapillo. I know he couldn't go yesterday, but it looks like they have their left tackle of the future. A very, very impressive draft. You hope Shamar Turner, who went in the second round, bounce back for a big year next year. But the future is bright for the Chicago Bears. Although they lost yesterday 19-16, they finished the season 11-6, and they got the Packers on Saturday night, 7 o'clock on Prime, also on Fox 32 as well. By the way, join the Score and Circus Sports Illinois this Friday at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. Spiegel and Holmes will be live there from 2 to 6 for Chicago football playoff talk. Plus, you can win the Chicago sports tickets from Circus Sports Illinois. That's Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. It's all brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Let's take a look at the text line from up in the 773. This one says, Judson, you're always on the radio no matter where or when I tune in. Heavy dose this week. Glad to hear you live. That's Patrick from Gage Park. Patrick, great to hear from you, and it's good to be heard. Patrick also said, Jalen Johnson was chasing ball carriers and pulling up on blockers. Not an ideal day for Jalen Johnson at all. Not an ideal day either for DJ Moore on that route where he felt like he just kind of got bullied for that interception by Caleb Williams. Definitely no defensive pass interference, in my opinion. By the way, if you are out there, if you're on X, let's do this right now. Since it's 1:33 in the morning, if you are up, if you are with us, if you follow me on X, I'll follow you back. Let's do a follow for a follow back right now. If you're up in the middle of the night, at Judson Richards, someone had the A, so there's no A in Richards, but find me. It's me. You'll see the score in my title there. At Judson Richards, follow for a follow back right now. Let's see how many of you are up and want to give me a follow. I know some of you are on the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Let's go to Steven. They're in Detroit. Steven, what's going on? You're on the Score.
Hey, good morning. Happy New Year.
Back at you, Steven.
I was not happy with the effort and the lack of energy throughout the game. For a team that is fighting for a second seed and Ben Johnson wanting to play his starters, I was so shocked by the effort and the, I don't want to say the disconnect between Johnson and the players, but the effort and the result kind of speaks for itself out there today. And obviously a lot of the wrath is being targeted towards Dennis Allen, and for a good reason. I kind of felt interesting that, you know, Jaquan Brisker's post-game comment about being out-schemed as if he was, like, taking shots at Dennis Allen. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I understand taking shots at Allen and criticizing Allen at this point with the lack of talent at this juncture of the season does not solve anything. But at the same time, I am not going to give Dennis Allen the pass either for what we saw the last 2 days, because we saw Ben Johnson shaking his head on after the punt. You know, we saw that saying, you know, like as if he was regretting the decision to punt there. So I believe that maybe Ben Johnson has kind of given up on the defense, or maybe even Dennis Allen, at least for the postseason. You can probably see more fourth down attempts, you know, no matter where, you know, because at this point, I don't think Johnson has kind of given up on the defense. And maybe if the Bears lay an egg again this upcoming Saturday, maybe Dennis Allen and maybe several defensive coaches are probably might end up getting a pink slip. So,
hey, Steven, you're so you're a Bears fan living there in Detroit?
Yes, I am. You know, I'm here for work. So,
yeah. Oh, gotcha. So, a question I've been curious: what's your mood right now as a Bears fan? 11-6, right? Listen, before the season, Steven, a dozen years only had one season over 500. That was in 2018. Two seed heading in. What's your mood as a Bears fan?
I'm a kind of temper my expectation because of how bad the defense has looked without turnovers the last two games. So I'm just going to kind of hope for the best. You know, 11-6 is nothing to sneeze at, but I was just so disappointed by the, you know, the effort that I saw today. And I just hope that, you know, Ben Johnson can get these guys to, you know, get back up and, you know, I don't want to say flip a switch again because I just don't think that's how things work.
But yeah. Steven, thank you for the phone call. Yeah, no, I appreciate you, Steven. There was a word in there that I think it's a very fair word that you used, and that was disconnect between Ben Johnson and the team. Not going to freak out and say that Ben Johnson's lost his team by any means, but it doesn't feel like something that we've watched really in months, where something looked like it was lost in translation, or at least you'd think it would be a head coach that could get his team up for the game, right? I did not love that the description of the game plan being simple for the Bears. It's like, well, why is it simple? And I think the obvious answer is we didn't want to put anything on film, or we didn't want to show anything, or perhaps they were already working towards the Packers or the Rams or the 49ers. You didn't really know who it would be. But the problem is with the simplification, that didn't run in line with what you said all of last week about how important it was for you to win this game, how important it was for you to not lose two straight hanging into the playoffs. So if you made a big deal about the importance of this game, then why did you get so little from your team? But then I also wonder, if you had a simple game plan and you dumbed it down, maybe you made your team feel like this game wasn't as important, right? Like that's what really jumped out to me. That simplicity felt like preseason, because you don't scheme a lot in preseason. And I just wonder, Because whoever you play, and there's few teams that know you as well as the Packers do, maybe the Vikings and the Lions because they've also played you twice, but is there that much that you could have schemed up that you didn't want to show that they haven't seen through the previous 17 games of the season? I think the disconnect is a good word for what we saw today. Unless Ben Johnson's approach with his simpler game plan kind of played out on the field, where it's like, well, if you're approaching it as a lesser game with your game plan, then we will play a lesser game while we're out there. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Jeff in West Salem with us on the Score. Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
Well, I'm too excited. First of all, I'm almost too excited. I wish this game was right now.
I feel you, Jeff.
I live in the heart of Cheesehead Country, and I'm going to deal with a whole week of hearing, we were lucky, we're going to get you, blah, blah, blah. And I watched their game yesterday. If you think our effort was, I watched both games, of course, but their effort was, they may not even had 150 yards offense. They kicked a field goal with a second to go so they wouldn't get shut out.
Yeah, but they
is mind boggling.
Yeah, but Jeff, but they rested a lot of people.
Right. But there are four losses in a row going into game number five. And I don't know, I think they're a little bit of a rudderless ship as well. I know we have a history of not playing well against the Packers, but I think we broke that the last time. And this is the Super Bowl for me right now. I mean, my wife was saying, what are you so mad about? You said 9 wins would be a great year. I mean, a lot of people didn't see 11-6 in a 2-seed, did we?
No. You know what, Jeff, you bring up a really interesting point, and stick with me. I want to connect with you on that one, because I said last week on the Score that it would not be considered a successful season if the Bears lost to the Packers, especially as the 2-seed, right? Like, that's why I use the right success word. But people want to say, well, you didn't know they were going to be that good, or this isn't all what you expected. And it's like, well, maybe we should elevate our expectations with Ben Johnson. But Jeff, I think the bigger point to that is they started the tank when they traded Roquan Smith. So they should be hitting a little bit at this point. They just finally found a great coach.
Right. And a great quarterback.
Yes.
And here's what and one more thing I really wish we had done yesterday. Please, for God's sakes, pardon my language, run the darn ball. Run it, run it, run it. We run the ball well, and then we get away from it.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, I don't know if they're getting away from it. It doesn't look as dynamic as it did since they played the Eagles, right?
But do remember when we played, well, the Eagles was the best running game we had.
Yes.
Sadly, I had to work and I missed that, but I watched the highlights 10 times. I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't either,
I just
Jeff.
Couldn't believe it. That was my favorite game is still beating the Packers, but we can't start 3-and-out 3 times and then 16-0 hole it's just too much for a young team to do all the time.
Jeff, the Bears haven't scored on their opening drive since November 2nd against the Bengals.
I was just about to say that. I think it's been over a month.
Yeah.
Way over a month.
Jeff, what's your mood? What's your mood as a Bears fan right now at 11-6?
It's 1:30. It's 1 whatever in the morning, and I can't wait for Saturday night. My biggest concern is I'm going to have 50 people that want me there so they can rub it in. And my wife doesn't want to. My wife loves the Bears, but won't sit with me because I yell at the TV too much. I don't know why. I mean, this really. I love sports, but I love the Bears. I always build myself as the biggest Bears fan in West Salem, Wisconsin. We're Western Wisconsin, almost on the border with Minnesota. So, of course, the Viking fans were all in purple yesterday, too.
Of course. Jeff, thank you for the phone call.
They're 9-8 now.
Thank you for the phone call. Yeah, all the best to you. I'm sorry that the game is so far away, But this will give the Bears a chance to try to figure out their defense a little bit. Let's let them rest their bodies and see if they can figure out how to stop somebody. One of the most concerning things about this defense is quite simply speed. Like, everyone's just running away from them. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I thought he had a bad ankle and a knee. And I'm like, he's going to go for 200 yards in this game. Jahmyr Gibbs, it's like, can somebody, like, contain the edge one time? They just are not fast. You know, can Tremaine Edmonds get back to the guy that he was by Saturday? Can Jalen Johnson get a little bit closer to the Jalen Johnson that they're paying for? And maybe we should give Jalen Johnson credit for getting back as quickly as he did with the severity of his injury, but it's not helping a lot. You know, I don't think they have incredible depth at the quarterback position, so there's probably not a lot of people that would give you better opportunity or give you better coverage than Jalen Johnson, but man, it looks worrisome. Let's go to Mark in Richmond with us on 6-7 The Score. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Good morning. I thought the Bear defense did really well. They have been doing this the whole year. We have given up more points. Our offense has had to score 30 to 40 points a game throughout the whole year. And now we take Detroit for the second time. They scored 52 on us on the first one. Now we get them all the way down to 19. And then the Detroit defense came to play, took our number one offense, all our number one guys, and held us to zero in the first quarter. And in the second quarter, we didn't score a point until the second half. Ben Johnson turned us around in the second half, got our guys going. Our guys just faced a good defense that came to play, wanted to win. They got the win. Now we got to go into Green Bay. Has got to come to our house yet again. And I'm scared about Green Bay because everybody thinks, oh, well, you know, they didn't play all that well. No, they played pretty good the first game around. They almost beat us with a backup quarterback after we knocked out Jordan Love. Now they rested everybody. Everybody's like, well, they didn't do very good yesterday. Who cares? They knew they were coming.
Yep.
They rested everybody. Now our defense has got to do it again. And we have bent all year. It's going to be up to our offense to bail us out yet again. If we're going to go anywhere in the playoffs, our offense has to keep scoring points. And they've had to do it the whole year. They've had to do it.
Mark, thanks for the call. A couple things I would disagree with you on, but the thing I will most agree with you on is the Bears offense need to get it done, and most importantly, their identity. They need to run the ball. They need to really, really run the ball. And I mean establish the run, right? Where you know, where you can see that DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai are getting to the second level. Right, meaning they're often going 2-3 yards before they're touched. And then DeAndre Swift, I thought DeAndre may have played the hardest of any Bears player that I saw today. And DeAndre had some personal numbers on the line, right? Like he surpassed his own career high in yards and he earned it. But I thought DeAndre played really hard. And I feel like if you get he and Kyle Manungai going and they can start to develop a rhythm, get Ozzie Trapillo back in the game. He was close today. I'm expecting he'll be out there close yesterday. He'll be back out there on Saturday night. But that's where it all comes from. And then the play action pass. And I'll say this, because I've been one of the ones that have defended Caleb Williams more on kind of the short, intermediate, and even dump off passes that has set that completion percentage at about 58% for the season. He needs to be good for four quarters. All right, the singles, the doubles, the home runs. We know who gives us the home runs. When this offense really stalls out in the second quarter, it's oftentimes because it's the singles that he's missing. I need the singles. I need the doubles. And if a home run is open, you need it hit. I'm not saying he's got to carry the team. That's where the run game comes in, sets up the play action pass, And that's where you'd like to think you control the ball and ask your defense to do less because you are on the field more. Kind of like the Lions did yesterday. Let's go to Mike on the road with us on 670 The Score. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Mike. How about yourself?
Good. Hey, just want to say, you know, as much as I want to win and everybody else wants to win, you know, if you watch over this season, we've played catch-up football, and it's been, you know, fourth quarter wins. You know what? We deserve to lose yesterday. Nobody likes to lose, but you know what? They should have scored the first three quarters. You can't play catch-up football every game and expect to win.
Nope.
Granted, you know what? I'm happy with the season we've had. It's not over yet. But I'm saying you can't play catch-up football, expect to win every game like that. It's just not going to happen. And you know what? The way that as flat as they were yesterday, you deserve to lose.
Mike, what's your confidence level for Saturday night against the Packers?
You know what? I was at the Green Bay Packers game, the last game in Chicago. And you know what? Oh. I tell you what, the crowd, amazing.
Yes.
Electrifying. I think we're going to bring it. Come Saturday, the team is going to be a totally different team. I know a lot of people are going to be saying, well, Green Bay is going to bring it. But again, I think come Saturday, we're going to see a totally different team. I think it's going to be a great game.
Mike, great phone call. Travel safe wherever you're going.
Thanks. You too.
Bye. All right. See you. 312-644-6767. They did deserve to lose yesterday. Why? Because they woke up too late. You know, this whole here they come. Let's do that from the first snap. Like that's just a terrible approach, really, in anything in life. It's like, well, you know, I'm on this great date. Why don't I be charismatic in the final 5 minutes of this 55-minute date? It's like, man, how about you just start off being good? How about you just bring it? Because it kind of shows that that's when you're a great team. I go back. Who watched that Seahawks 49ers game? I'll be honest. It's really the most Seahawks football I'd watched. I had nowhere near the respect level that I should have for them.
Should have seen them play the Cardinals at home.
I did not, but you know what? Here's why. Because I watched what the 49ers did to the Bears, and then I sat down. It's like, here comes this Bears offense. I mean, sorry, here comes this 49ers offense. The most spectacular offense you've ever seen. Kyle Shanahan can do anything with anybody. And then the Seahawks were like, no,
I will say the score didn't really dictate the outcome of like the disparity because Jason Myers did miss three field goals. So you're taking off 9 points of that final score. Plus, if that's the case, if the Bears have to travel in Seattle and Myers is missing field goals there, that could favor the Bears heavily, especially in these close games that they know how to win.
That John Lynch reaction was such great television.
Priceless.
Now, whoever decided to keep a camera on him, I was like, that was awesome. Because I remember watching John Lynch. He was an incredible safety. Let's go to Ryan in Oak Forest on the score. Hey, Ryan, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? I mean, you know, this was a fun regular season. We've drawn many comps to 2018, but even though I think this team is just as talented, we haven't really been dominating game after game. And it seems like more often than not, we're playing against teams that beat themselves in the end. And it's like we're laying out a blueprint on how to beat us. And what I'm fearing is, yeah, going against the division rival in the playoffs, they have all this tape, all these tendencies. I mean, we barely squeaked out a win last time. And I was kind of hoping that we'd be the 3 seed. Because so those California boys would have to play in Chicago. But, hey, I mean, if we beat the Packers, then that will happen no matter what, the divisional round. But I'm a little worried.
Yeah, Ryan, I feel you. What concerns you the most?
It's just, you know, there's a few weaknesses. Like, on paper, this is great. But, like, it's the fundamental stuff, like tackling in the open field, covering the run fits, blocking creative blitzes, right? I mean, we could do the standard stuff really nice, but it's those extra, they're like hidden stuff, those like, a wide receiver that could break tackles or just, you know, a corner coming off the blitz. It's those little things, those surprises that you might see in the playoffs that we really got to be prepared for.
Yeah, Brian, great phone call. And by the way, the tackling, it's a simple one. It's a big problem. It just is. It's a big problem. I was disappointed to see the way the Bears showed up yesterday. We'll continue to take your reaction. Great phone calls. Let's keep them coming. 312-644-6767. Also, at some point, we will check in with what Patrick Manley and Olin Kreutz thought of the outcome of yesterday's game. That's all coming up on 670.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Score.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
From 42 yards out, trying to give the Lions the W. Snap and hold are good. The kick is up and good. And the Lions going to finish their year with a win in Chicago, 19-16.
That was a call on Fox, a season full of so many late pushes by the Bears where they were able to come out on top. That was not the case on Sunday as the Lions beat the Bears 19-16, the final. So the Lions finish up over 500. 9-8 is their record. The Bears, they finish the season at 11-6. They are the 2 seed. They will play the 7 seed in the Green Bay Packers Saturday night on Prime. It is also airing on Fox 32. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff. Cannot wait to cover it all week right here on 670 The Score. By the way, I saw a stat. I should probably check its validation, but I saw that because every team in the NFC North finished up over 500, that is only the second time in NFL history that an NFL team since 1935, only the second time that every team in a division finished up over 500. That was one of the things about, you know, Dan Campbell with the this is rock bottom, which he said last week during a press conference. He also said that in 2022. So he's hit a number of rock bottoms, and I guess at least the last one they certainly got back up from it. But it sounded like there was a team approaching 2-14 that was coming to Soldier Field, and they were trying not to go 2-15 to end the season. It's like, no, they're 8-8. I know that they're out, but if you take them lightly, Like, this was very much a mess around and find out kind of day, I felt like. And guess what? The Bears messed around. They were flat. They had a quote-unquote simple game plan. And the Lions came in. They got the dub. They're 9-8, but they are done. They are heading to Cancun, if you will. And the Bears will be back at Soldier Field on Saturday night to face off against the Packers. You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank. And great clips, score reporter Chris Emma. We will catch up with him in just a moment. I do want to tell you about this, though. Tonight, that is Monday night, tonight, the Illinois State Redbirds will play for the FCS National Championship for just the second time in program history when they take on Montana State. So you can join the score and Mark Grody at 93 Octane Brewery in Elmhurst for an official SIU watch party starting at 6 p.m. to cheer on the Redbirds. Isn't Grody in the Illinois State Hall of Fame, maybe Broadcast Hall of Fame?
I could check that. But so that he's definitely a Red. He's definitely okay, taking Illinois State.
Then he is a Hall of Famer. He's got to be. Hang out with Grody. Also, hang out with the score all day today because we are loaded. Now, Olin Kreutz set to join Mollenhaw at 7 o'clock. Love Olin every Monday morning. Enjoy listening to him the postgame show on Sunday as well. TJ Edwards will join Mollenhaw. Don't have a time set as of yet, as will Brad Biggs. Still waiting to find out a time, but they will have Brad Biggs, TJ Edwards, and Olin Kreutz at 7 o'clock. Raheemy Harris and Grody, they're talking to my guy Anthony Heron at 11 o'clock. Dan Weeder will join them coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And then, of course, Hall of Famer Kurt Warner, he will talk to Spiegel and Holmes at 3 o'clock. To put it simply, keep it locked right here as we are heading towards the game of the decade for the Chicago Bears. This is only the third time in history that the Bears and the Packers are matching up in the playoffs, believe it or not. Only the third time. This is wild. It's very rare. You may have heard, I think it was only like the third time since World War II where both teams were over five games over 500 or six games over 500. It's just rare that you've had these teams as long as they've played. Typically, one is good, the other is not. Or the other is good and one is not. Not this year. Now, the Bears find themselves a 2 seed. The Packers find themselves a 7 seed. And so the Bears, they will be hosting on Saturday night at Soldier Field. Oh, man. That is going to be one hell of a time. Speaking of a hell of a time, love talking to Chris Emma. Emma was there. He was there. He saw it all. He was there to look in the eyes of Ben Johnson, ask him some challenging questions. Let's get to our conversation now that we had with Emma. Emma, let's start here. This was a unique game. How would you describe what you watched on Sunday?
That was the type of uninspired performance I just did not expect from this team. I mean, Ben Johnson was pressing the buttons this week. They had 52-21 on these television screens in the locker room at Hallis Hall, and across the building, and Ben Johnson talked about, we need that 2 seed. We need to do everything we can to win this game. Like, he set the emotional tone for this team, but they just did not respond. For whatever reason, it was just a completely flat, lifeless at times performance by the Bears. And I did not see this coming. The Bears have not had a game like this, a total letdown slop emotionally like this. And they've played poor performances. They've had times where it's just inconsistent and lacking, but the drops, the penalties, you had veterans like Andrew Billings cut, like jumping off sides, and you had so many different things that you want to clean up. Even Caleb Williams, who plays a pretty clean game with the intentional grounding penalty on that last series offensively, and you don't get the ball back. It was just a really poor performance from a team that wanted to control its own destiny and get the 2 seed in its own right and head into the postseason with a victory instead of 2 straight losses. And it was just a really disappointing performance, and it didn't matter in the end because of the Commanders beating the Eagles, who rested their starters. But like, you can sound some alarm bells from this performance, and it really underscored the inconsistencies of this football team.
Emma, it had me scratching my head by halftime, where Aaron Andrews had the report coming out after talking to Ben Johnson, saying, yes, you know, the main word was disappointment. But then he also mentioned to Aaron Andrews about how many mental errors they had and that he was surprised because it was an easier game plan. And it was like, why do we have an easy game plan? And then he brought it up really himself in the post game, and he used the word simple. It was a simpler game plan. What was your takeaways from that and really his approach? Because it felt like it showed.
I'm gonna sound like a coach when I say this. I really need to watch the film to get a sense of how simple it was. Like, I was struck, and it did seem simple, obviously, to the naked eye. Nothing was really all that impressive what they were trying to do offensively. But I was struck by that comment from Yanni. As I mentioned, set the emotional tone of, we need to win this week. We need to win this game. And then, he was kind of asked his fault, but was that because of the fact that, you didn't have as much to play for? And he shot back, no. And it was like, why wasn't a simple game plan? I'm not quite sure. If you are holding back for the postseason, I get that, but it didn't add up. The entire day just did not add up from the Bears, from the standpoint of their performance, their effort, and just obviously the inconsistencies that we've seen far too often this year. And they've been the comeback kids, and that's been outstanding to watch. But those comebacks, I mean, five of the six of them have come against lesser competition, teams that are going to be watching the playoffs from the outside looking in. Of course, the other one, and that one's a triumphant one, was against the Packers, a team you're going to be seeing next. But the point being that they've gotten away with inconsistent play through these late comebacks against weaker teams. And that's a remarkable trait to have, and it's something you can hang your hat on, but you got to get a more complete performance if you want to win playoff games.
We're joined by his co-reporter, Chris Emmett, does a great job covering the Bears and covering the rest of Chicago sports as well. Emma, let's talk about the defense a little bit. Only 19 points, but it felt like far more than that, and maybe probably because we're still kind of feeling like the 49ers are still scoring against the Bears. What's your level of concern for this defense getting the job done in the playoffs?
And there's great concern. It's the lack of a pass rush right now. It starts there. And Dennis Allen is doing everything he can to make the most of this defense, whether it's dialing up zero blitzes and trying to get pressure, dropping disguised looks. Like, they are just not a dynamic enough defense to make a deep run in this postseason, unfortunately. And I think if you're going to be facing teams to get a rematch with the Niners, whatever it may be, like, you're going to have to win another shootout like that game. You're going to have to play a more consistent brand offensively to make up for your lack of the pass rush and lack of complementary play defensively. And they need to thrive off turnovers. They only got the one today on that interception, deflected ball from Brisker into the hands of Beyer. That's great, but you need more than that. You can't live on takeaways solely. You need to be able to get stops. And they struggled to get off the field on third down in this game. And that's ultimately what cost them in this one. And they can't consistently get off the field enough to get to a point where you're going to be dictating games defensively. So you need to be playing a more complete performance to win games in the postseason. And again, today was a day, I know it didn't matter in the end. It kind of became a glorified preseason game when it was all said and done. But this sounds alarm bells. This gives you something to be concerned about as you head into these games.
I don't know if I would call Jalen Johnson a shell of himself, but he feels like he's kind of close to that, still working through or coming back from that injury.
Yeah, he's just not right. He's just not right.
He's just not fast.
He's not fast. He's backing off from contact. There was one play where
Jameer Gibbs went through, and
it was just like, it wasn't even an arm tackle. It was like just waving him right through. It's just not there for Jalen Johnson. Knowing him the way I've been able to get to know him over the years and the competitor, the drive that's there, like, he's just not healthy. It's never a lack of effort with him. He wants to win. He wants to be great. He's incredibly frustrated because he's just not himself right now. And unfortunately, he's just not going to be himself until the season's over and he can really have a full offseason to get himself right. He came back after just a couple months from poor muscle surgery. That's a big ask. And unfortunately for the rest of the secondary, too. I mean, Tyree Stevenson was not playing at a high level by any means this season. Deshaun Wright has the interceptions, and he's been a great story, but he also gets beat a lot in coverage, too. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, before left with the concussion, was just getting beat left and right in coverage and opportunities there. And you hope Tyler Gordon's back, but certainly you've not been able to rely on him at all this season. So, concerns in the secondary plenty as well, in addition to the pass rush.
Follow Emma's work at 67thescore.com. Emma, and you reminded me of that moment with Jalen Johnson meeting up with Gibbs and wanting nothing to do with it. And then also DJ Moore on the interception, he kind of got bullied going after that ball as well. And the messaging all week from from Ben Johnson about we're going after win this game. You know, I spoke with Herm Edwards on the Score, Mr. You play to win the game. The game plan and their approach didn't fit at all the messaging that we heard all throughout the week.
It did not. And look, the Lions on the other side, give them a ton of credit. Like, this is a game in Week 18. This is the first time in several years where they played a game that didn't have postseason opportunity, that they were eliminated from contention. They balled out. They played a really strong game. I know they could have turned some of those field goals into touchdowns and really made a statement in this game, but the effort was there. And the Bears played today. If you watched this game without knowing the stakes and what the records were, you would have thought the Bears were the team emotionally checked out and heading into the offseason, not the Lions. And that's something I know is incredibly disappointing to Ben Johnson. If you heard him in the postgame, same with Caleb Williams, man, that was some really frustrated, angry Ben Johnson. Like, they wanted this game. They wanted to come out there and get that win and have a better effort. And he's going to be hammering those guys starting now with a Monday film session. And I'm through what's a short week now with a Saturday night game against the Packers. So there's little time to sulk. They've got to learn from this, and then they got to flush it emotionally, turn the page, and try to get better off it, because this is just not a good enough effort.
And we'll talk about Bears-Packers in just a moment. How loudly should we be celebrating Caleb Williams becoming the Bears' all-time single-season passing leader?
I mean,
quietly?
Loudly at all.
Loudly? Somewhere
sure,
in between
if
there?
You want. Look, Eric Kramer had a terrific career. No disrespect for him, but that should not be a single season passing mark for any franchise. Only the Bears would have that with 3,838 yards. And it's good to see that record go down. Well, if they won the game today, I think Caleb would have had a little bit more of acknowledgement for it, but he wanted nothing to do with it, saying, so be it, that's the number. Like, if he reached 4,000 today in this losing, uninspired effort, he would have said the same thing. It's a record that had to go down. And ideally, when you look at the end of Caleb Williams' career, hopefully in a decade to 15 years later, however long he plays in this league, you see Caleb Williams' name stacked above Caleb Williams' name on the Bears' single-season passing chart. He has the top 7, 8, 9, whatever spots locked up. He will get 4,000 yards in his career multiple times. He's on track to have a really promising, bright career leading this football team. And he's going to rewrite those records. The way today played out, it wasn't worth celebrating much.
And they had zero interest in going after it. Right? I mean, I felt like they were incredibly run heavy for the first couple of series anyway. So it showed very quickly in the game plan. It's like, oh, so they're not even going to really flirt with this.
If they got that ball back, they did get the ball back, I should say, after getting the interception, and you're deep in your own territory. He had a chance to get there, to lead that drive downfield. He played better after the interception. I mean, of course, he led the team back again. Like, he played well enough, but the thing I see come back to is just the poor start for this team. They've not scored on their opening drive since that game against the Bengals. That was November 2nd. Like, that's way too long. They've had way too many games where you're running off the script of Ben Johnson's first 15, and it's just not there. You're just not getting anything offensively. You're putting up zeros on those drives. Like, that's really disappointing for Ben Johnson. I know that one hurts, and I know that hurts Caleb Williams, too. And Caleb's had these big fourth quarters, and he's the Iceman and all the nicknames there. But you want to get him out of the gates hot, too, and that's just been lacking.
You know, the comments made by Ben Johnson in his opening press conference, you know, I like beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. What do you say? I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. Is that close to it, Emma?
Yeah, he's got a chance now.
Yeah, well, I was gonna, or LaFleur has a chance, right? Like the whole beating him twice a season thing. LaFleur is gonna have a chance, and Ben Johnson will have a chance. So round three, it will be. We do know it'll be Saturday night, 7 p.m. on Prime. How you feeling? Bears-Packers 2 versus 7, Emma. It's not the 49ers. It's not the Rams. I don't know if there are any of those other teams you would have preferred, or is this the absolute best matchup, not only because it's the Packers, but it's also their team this year as the 7 seed?
I think this is the best matchup. I think this is the team you want. You shouldn't be scared of these guys because you beat them already. I know it took some spectacular moments to pull off that comeback at Soldier Field a few weeks ago. This is the matchup you wanted. This is your rival. This is a team you know well, just as they know you well. This is an opportunity to put your stamp on this rivalry now. And you mentioned those comments, the beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. I can tell you from firsthand knowledge, that did not sit well up there. That's something that really hurt Matt LaFleur. And he wanted to get that first game at Lambeau Field. He certainly wanted to take that second game at Soldier Field, but he's going to be excited for this grudge match. I know Matt LaFleur really wanted this game against the Bears, and Look, it's an opportunity. It's going to be absolutely buzzing along the lakefront on Saturday night. I cannot wait to get there for that one. The drama, the theater, everything is on the line for this one. I think it's a good opportunity for the Bears, relatively speaking. I think the Niners still scare me, even seeing their game against the Seahawks and the way that the offense looks vastly different. But, man, the Bears really need to have a good week up at Halas Hall to get themselves right.
Are the Bears ready for this moment?
I think so. I want to say yes. It's a great question, and I don't have a definitive answer. I think the veteran leadership in that locker room matters. I think Caleb Williams is unfazed by how big the stage is and by playing in these ones. I think he embraces it instead of getting nervous about it. I think the most important players on your team love the idea of playing playoff football and a chance to make a run. And Ben Johnson said it, and he gave his deadpan look today, kicked off after his press conference, saying, We won 4 in a row times in the season. And he gave me this little stare to Mike Fletcher as if to say, don't you question this football team and our resolve. And I think they're going to hammer that home in their Monday field session and as they meet as a team and turn the page from a really disappointing performance to the new season, as Ben Johnson put it. So I think they're going to be ready for the stage. I think they're going to embrace everything about playoff football. And it's going to be a heck of a night on Saturday.
Did I just hear that Chris Emma drew the ire of Ben Johnson on Sunday?
Not the first time, and it won't be the last either.
Sorry, what was the question that you asked him where you got the eyes?
It was about how this team bounces back. He said he did not want them going into the playoffs with two losses. I asked how they try to regroup from this.
Yep.
And he gave me this look as if to say, we're going to be all right. We're going to be okay. So I believe in this group. I certainly believe in this coaching staff and Ben Johnson at the helm. So we'll see. Ultimately, we're going to find out on Saturday night how they do bounce back. But there's a lot of work needed because this is just not the kind of effort you wanted to see out there.
And it's also a very fair question by you because of the tone that he tried to set all week with the importance of not going into the playoffs by winning two consecutive games. And Tom Brady used the word flat, which I think is virtually the ultimate insult you can put on a group of players and maybe more importantly, the coaching staff. He used the word flat at least three times during that broadcast, and we all were watching it. It was refreshing just to hear him say it to kind of mirror what exactly our eyes were seeing. So good question by you, and he should have delivered a little bit more on what he expected of his team because, this isn't a team that was deep in the playoffs last year where it's like, all right, hit that on switch. Here we go, you know.
Yeah, and look, I love the answer from Ben Johnson. That's exactly how he should answer. He's confident in everything he does. And that's not an answer of arrogance. That's not shooting back at a reporter or a question he doesn't like. That's him saying, we're going to move past this. We're going to be okay. Like, he's got this way of conveying that message, even through press conferences, even in dealing with reporters. And so when he hears that question, like, yeah, don't doubt this group is what he's saying. As he said, they won 4 in a row 4 times or twice this season. They've had these moments. And 4 in a row, as he put it, that's winning the Super Bowl. That's making your playoff run here. Like, that's what his message is going to be. Forget these two losses. Let's go out there and win Saturday night against the Packers. Let's get this one under our belt, and let's make a run here. And he's going to have these guys re-inspired and ready to go. They will not be flat for the postseason. I can promise you that. But first and foremost, they got to figure out why they were flat in this regular season finale because it was an unacceptable loss in a lot of ways. It's an unacceptable performance.
Emma, you've done a great job covering the Bears all season long. What a season it's been. The best news is, well, I know that the 12th man will be ready to go out at Soldier Field, and we have at least one more game to cover as we dive into the NFL playoffs. Thanks for your time, Emma.
Take care, buddy.
All right, if you want to follow more of Emma's work, do so at 670score.com. He's got an article up currently, Bears enter playoffs with a concerning loss to the Lion. Everyone is disappointed. You can read that article again at 670score.com. If you want to respond to anything that Emma said, please do. 312-644-6767. Judson Richards with you all the way until 5 a.m. this morning until the Dustin Rhodes pregame show takes over for Moley and Haw, and the guys will be with you at 5:30. You know, the thing that really feels, I think, so bothersome about them being flat is this is not a bunch that is loaded with playoff talent, right? Like, this is not Nick Sirianni, who's been to the promised land and decided it's best to rest our guys because they were there a year ago. It feels a little bit easier to support that decision versus a team who kind of just was in cruise control on Sunday.
And I think what we all wanted so badly is we wanted to see a team that looked like they were so incredibly hungry to prove that they deserve the number two seed, because they were still fighting for it, could have been two or three, and couldn't wait to get to the playoffs and make sure that they had that spot, right? Like, that's what we wanted. We wanted pure anger and blood and violence out there on the field, at least something close to that where they looked more motivated to take the field. Why? Because we have no proof that they have that on switch. Like, we have no proof that when they want to be great or ready to take on their opponent, they're going to do it immediately. And that opponent is the Green Bay Packers on Saturday night. We did not get that on Sunday from the Bears. We are asking you, what's your mood as a Bears fan? I guess another way to put it is, where is your confidence level at this point? Where is your satisfaction of this team? Because I get it. It's probably really, really high. They're 11-6. The Bears are back in the playoffs for the first time since 2020. 2020 was a long time ago. We probably remember what happened in 2020. Besides my son being born, yes, it was one hell of a year. So 5 years since we've seen the Bears in the postseason. Should we feel better than we do right now? And maybe you feel great. 312-644-6767. We'll take your reactions to that. We will take a look at who the Bears' opponents are next year. That's right, we already know that. And we'll take a look around at some of the top NFL storylines and NFC North storylines, including J.J. McCarthy being asked, do you think you deserve to have this job as quarterback of the Vikings next season? That's all coming up next on 6-7 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.